Well, our next speaker is not a mime, but he certainly knows and understands the power of expressions. His greatest ambitions in life are to love others, do stuff, and most importantly, spend time holding hands with his wife, Maria, and spend as much time as possible with their amazing kids. FFA members and guests, please join me in welcoming to the stage our keynote speaker, Mr. Bob Goff.
Opa! Wow. Hi, everybody. Wow, it's so good to be here. I'm just so glad to be among all of you as leaders. It's so good to see what you're doing with yourself, what you're thinking about in life. And what I hope to do is that we'll spend a little bit of time talking about who you want to be. Not just like what you've accomplished already, but who you want to be. There's a power that happens when you're in a community of people. And that's what I'm looking forward to this next couple days, to see what happens in a community. My name is Bob. I'm a lawyer, but I'm also a hugger, right? But so don't even try to shake hands, because we're going to hug. But not the creepy kind. You'll need a lawyer. But what I want you to know this, I see in this room nothing but hope. Nothing but anticipation. And God does his biggest stuff in community. There's a place, if you don't want to be with community, there's a place called Buford, Montana. Buford, Wyoming. Yeah, there's only one person that lives there. And that guy's thinking about moving. What I want you to do is think about what it is that you want to do. What is it that you want to do with this leadership that you have? I made a list of the things that I think each of us want. Your list might be longer, but it won't be any shorter. And it's this: love, purpose, connection, a couple authentic relationships. I hope that these next couple of days are days that you can actually talk to people about the things that matter to you, that you can have a conversation, you can go a little bit deeper than you normally would. And for me, I'm a man of faith. I know that faith isn't for everybody, but my faith has informed everything that I've done. There's a great verse, it's in Galatians, and it says this: the only thing that counts is faith expressed in love. And I think what I want you guys to do, whatever your faith tradition might be, or no faith tradition at all, but express yourself in love. I win arguments for a living as a lawyer, but I'm not trying to argue with anybody anymore. Because leadership doesn't get argued into. It's something that somebody just discovers because they find out that you're actually available. I write books every once in a while. There was this publisher that asked me if I would write a book. And I said, I don't know, will you build a school? I'll trade you one book for one school. And they said, well, how big's the school? And I said, all right, 1,200 child soldiers and 100 teachers. And they said, big school. I said, big book. And I made him pay me in advance. I didn't know if it'd be any good. And then there was a little bit of room on the last page of this book. And I said, could I put my cell phone number on the last page of the book? And you guys, there's 2 million people that have my cell phone number. And I don't send people to voicemail. Don't call me while I'm talking. I get 100 calls a day. It's crazy. I can't get a thing done. And what I'm learning is this: there's power in availability. What I want you to think about as you express your faith and love is just be available to people. But you know what? Availability means you're going to be constantly interrupted. That's a good thing. Let it come. Just be interrupted. Take the time during this next couple days to meet somebody else that has the jacket, that has the gold and blue. And to ask them a question, not just what's your name or where are you from, but to ask them, who are you? There's something, it's costly for availability. You know when you back your car up and you run into somebody and you're supposed to put your cell phone number? Well, there was a student at a university in Michigan that ran the car behind him in the parking lot. They didn't want to put their cell phone number, so they put mine. I had to buy that lady a Fender. I'm like, whatever. Well, what I want to do is like learn this stuff in the safety of a community. And here's the thing: God doesn't pass us messages. He gives us each other. You know who he gave to me 33 years ago? Sweet Maria Goff. We could not be more different. I get around you guys, I'm like, people! I'm like Tigger. She thinks having me in the room is a lot of people. She has what's called extreme social anxiety. And so she doesn't go anywhere. She's not here with me tonight. She's not anywhere. Because she just like, it just would, she'd be on her back for a week. But here's the deal. I'm not trying to be like her. And she's not trying to be like me. We're trying to express our faith and love together. And we just do it differently. And you see me wearing this Red Sox hat? I'm not a Red Sox fan. Never even gone to a game. We evidently have a major league team in San Diego. Who would know? But my neighbor Carol was a huge Red Sox fan. And she got cancer. We knew she'd be dancing in heaven by the end of the week. And so we made a deal. I said, Carol, I'll wear your Red Sox hat for the rest of my life and represent the Sox here on earth. But in exchange, every time Jesus walks by you, you need to mention my name. There's a verse that said, I knew you not. I'm like, Carol! So know why you're doing what you're doing. I wear a mood ring. Isn't that crazy? I got it for $4 on eBay. Sweet Maria Goff, because she's kind of like sensitive, she has a little hummingbird heart. We don't talk about where I am. She doesn't know I'm in Indiana right now. Just didn't come up. But we talk about how I feel where I am. I'm telling you, if you want to be leaders, if you want to take people further, tell people how you feel. Ladies, if there's a guy dating you or wants to, say, I want you to wear a mood ring. And if he tells you I'm not into talking about my feelings, say, that's awesome. I'm not into you. See ya. One of the things that we do, the rule in our marriage is this. 100% kindness, 0% drama. That's what makes junior high school so difficult because it's 100% drama and 0% kindness sometimes. And what we've done to remind ourselves about the kind of people we want to be and what we're looking for, the impact we want to make, we want to remind ourselves of this childlike faith. I don't mean childish. I mean like the younger version of you. Before it started getting complicated, we got a puppy to teach us. Check out, this is our puppy. Check this out. Isn't that awesome? This isn't even slow motion. This is just how this dog rolls. Oh, I love this dog. But here's the deal. We've been trying to housebreak the dog. The only thing it's missed so far is the lawn. But I don't like this dog any less because it keeps messing up in my house. And I'll tell you, God doesn't think less of you because you keep messing up. I just want you to know that you're in a community of people. You're among friends here who are encouraging you. We had a daughter. Her name was Lindsay. And I told her, you know, guys are going to want to ask you out to the prom and all that. What I want you to do when the guy asks you out, ask them this, what's your definition of love? And because they're guys, they won't know. So send them home and say, go figure out what love is. And when you got it figured out, come back and tell me what you think it is. And if they come back and tell you it's like butterflies, you can get that from bad pizza. Love is sacrifice and commitment. Say it with me. Love is sacrifice and commitment. One more time. Let them hear you outside. It's sacrifice and commitment. If you go back to your state, if you continue to lead in love, knowing the only thing that matters is faith expressed in love, but it evidences itself in sacrifice. It's commitment. That's why you're all here. You made the sacrifice to be together. Boy, use that time. But here's the thing about love. You can't game love. There's something about it. As soon as love has an agenda, it isn't love anymore. It's just another program. I want you as leaders to just know what the definition of love is and then not try to game it. There was a guy that had his eye on this girl, and so he wrote this note. He tried to game it a little bit. He said, you know I have a crush on you. Will you go to the prom? Yes or definitely yes? And she circled no. I love that. Just say no. What I want you to know is this. It's the answer to this question. What do you want? I don't care if you're in junior high school or you're in college. Figure out what you want and why you're doing what you're doing, and now you have a game. There's something about that, just figuring it out. There's a friend that was here a little while ago. His name is Ed Eason, and Ed was a young kid. He was just before junior high. He got a guitar, and he wanted to be on a stage someday. That was what he wanted. Well, he practiced. Ed Eason performed in this arena. He's the lead guitarist for Carrie Underwood. He's just this amazing guitarist. Well, when they came, he said, Bob, do you want a ticket? I'm like, yes. So I got to the door, and I was headed for, you know, the bleachers way up at the top. And the person stopped me, and they said, this ticket will get you on the floor. I'm like, yes. So I got down to the floor with my ticket. And then they said, this ticket will get you in the mosh pit. Not sure what it is, but I want to go. And so I went to the mosh pit. And then they said, Bob, this ticket is all access. You can go anywhere. You can go into Carrie's bus if you want. Well, I'm like, yeah, it'd be creepy. But what I want you to know is that you guys have an all access pass. You don't have to wait for permission. Take your rightful place as leaders. Know your purpose. Everybody has a plan. I want you to be the ones that know your purpose. And if you know what you want, if you know what the definition of love is, if it's about serving and expressing that in the communities that you're in, that's where it gets really good. Hey, you guys, I have a friend who's the voice of Disney. Is that a great gig or what? Like when it's time for the parade, he's like, time for the parade. And then he pieces out. This is what his business card says. People believe what I tell them. I'm telling you, if you want to lead strong, if you want to express your faith and love, then let people believe what you say, and they'll believe what you say when they see what you do. I've been sitting in the audience over here watching people, keeping my eye on you guys. I think you're the ones that do what you say. And that's what I want you to remember as you're like growing into this, that you'd find times to reflect on who you want to be and what you want to be known for and do that. I live for about 8 months of the year in San Diego. The other 4 months of the year, I live at the end of this end of an inlet in Canada. My nearest neighbor is 10,000 square miles away. I feel like I should get the blue jacket. Right? Because I grow my own food, all of it. We catch dinner in the streams. We make our electricity off a glacier on the property. It's crazy. The only time I go out to the city is to get Pop-Tarts. I love those things. Don't judge. Well, I don't get very many visitors, but this guy landed his helicopter in my front yard. And he ran out. He's like this tall on his tippy toes. He runs up to me and gives me a kiss on each cheek and says, my name's Denny and I'm a Frenchman. I'm like, evidently. He said, did you know on this glacier behind your house, there's a cave? And I'm like, buddy, I've lived here for 25 years. I don't think there's a cave. And he said, do you want to go see it? I've known Denny for 3 minutes. We're in the helicopter. What could possibly go wrong, right? So we fly up to the top of the glacier. We go through this little hole. And you guys, inside is a cave that goes for 2 miles. And what I want you to think about is this in leadership. I don't want you to spend your time on the top of the snow, making the snowmen. Say, like, isn't this a terrific thing? I want you to go underneath the ice cap. I want you to understand why you're doing what you're doing. Understand your purpose, knowing that the only thing that matters is your faith, your love expressed. And I think there's something beautiful that we got to understand that we can't fix it if we don't know what it is. Take that time. Find conversations with people that will get you a little bit deeper. Don't just settle for the surface stuff anymore. And if you really want to grow in your communities, then take a genuine interest in the people around you. There's a great verse. This guy, Paul, is talking to his buddy, Timothy. He says, I don't have anybody like Timothy. He's a guy who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. boy, FFA, let that be said of you, that you're the ones that just take an interest in the people around you. I've been seeing that. That's what I've been hearing. I've seen that in the awards you've given. Keep up the good work. It was a year and a half ago in Detroit, and an 18-wheeler was driving down the highway, and the guy saw on an overpass a young man who was it looked like he was going to jump. I'm sure this guy with the 18-wheeler had places to go, but instead of continuing on, he parked his truck. He didn't just park his truck. He got on the radio, and he called every single trucker going in either direction, told them what was going on. You know what they did? They all lined up their trucks under that overpass. And they said, if you're going to fall, you're not going to fall far. Let that be said of you, that you take such an interest in not only understanding what's going on in your life, but in other people's lives, that you'll take an interest in their welfare. You'll be there for them. That's something that happened to me. It changed everything. When I was 7 years old, this was little Bobby Goff, covered in freckles. I mean, they were everywhere. And there was a really mean person who used to call me Spot. And you guys, it just hurt my heart so much. I used to be in my bedroom with an eraser until I would bleed on my face. My parents were freaking out because they didn't know what was up. But I just hated my freckles. And then a person came along who took a genuine interest in me. They had a Sharpie pen, and they said, you reach out your arms. And I reached out my arms, and they said, you know what? If you connect these dots together, you could make giraffes. I was like, these things are awesome. It was one kind word from somebody, and you know what? You're the one to give the kind word. What we don't want to do is just spend our time, junior high, high school, just complying with whatever your parents had to say, but get under the ice cap and know why you're doing what you're doing. Well, what I did is I spent my time complying, and then I went to college. Do you know what happened? That. It's like a happy Freddy Krueger, like, hi, can I eat you? I'm telling you, compliance isn't going to work. What it's going to do is us finding somebody who's hurting and one kind word from you changes everything. I teach at Pepperdine Law School. Could you imagine me teaching at a top-tier law school? I'm like, everybody passes the bar. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. But that isn't the only place I teach. I also teach here at San Quentin. I actually flew from San Quentin to get here. I took a red eye last night. I teach a class on being clear with your message. And I have 400 guys in my class. And they've done some pretty bad things that have landed them in San Quentin for decades and decades. But one of the things that's true each time is just taking a genuine interest in them and seeing what it is that they're learning along the way. We did a bit of a caper with a warden of San Quentin. I was able to do a podcast in this guy's jail. We sat down and I let him know last night what his release date was. And then I let him know that instead of being paroled back to the city where he was in a gang, we're paroling him to San Diego. And then I let him know I'm hiring him. You guys, I don't know how this is going to work out. Either awesome or a train wreck. There's no in between. That's what it looks like. It's pulling in under the overpass. It's finding somebody who is hurting and answering the question, what do you want? Because if you don't know what you want, you'll be like this dog that goes and gets everything. And I don't want you to go get everything. I want you to figure out the one thing you want, which is to express your faith, express yourself in love. Go under the ice cap. There's a young guy that asked if he could go. We operate schools in Mogadishu and Afghanistan, all kinds of places. And this young guy asked, can I go with you? And I'm like, oh, buddy, heck no. You see, Tyler has dreadlocks, and they're down to his waist. He's been growing them for 17 years. And I said, buddy, if you step off the plane looking like that, we're both going to jail. So you know what Tyler did? He cut off his dreads. He looks like he works at IBM now. He was willing to do what it takes because he knew what he wanted. I want that to be said of you, that when people think of FAA, they don't just think of future farmers, they think of future leaders. Men and women that know what they want and they're willing to do what it takes to get what they want. There's a young guy, his name is Ivan. He came to our school in Uganda in the middle of a civil war that had been going on. You know what Ivan wanted more than anything else? He wanted to be an artist. This is Ivan. His parents had been lost in the war. He had nothing but that box. And inside the box, he didn't have a paintbrush. All he had was a spear and a bedsheet. And so do you know what Ivan did? He mixed the paints in his hands, and it brought with me what Ivan made for me with what he had. This is what Ivan made for me with a spear and a bedsheet. He used what he already had to get what he wanted. I want that to be you guys. What have you got? What you've got is a bunch of friends. You've got this community. You're not in Buford, Wyoming. You're right here. I want you to go underneath the ice cap and say, what do you want? And then I want you to use what you've got to get what you want. And then find those things in each other. Ask the questions that are the difficult questions to ask. I've been to Africa 50 times to see these kids and do these things. I never take the malaria meds. I mean, what are the chances? You guys, the last time I went, I got malaria. Nearly killed me. I went to the ICU for 2 weeks. You know the awesome part? I lost 30 pounds. My next book isn't even going to have words. It's just one mosquito, bite you in the head, all gone. It cost $140,000 to not die. It's so expensive. And I could have avoided it with a nickel pill and a half a glass of water. And some of the stuff that might be going on in your lives, if you go underneath the ice cap a little bit, you could avoid that easily. Find one or two people right here that during these evenings that you get to spend together to say, can I tell you what's really going on? I don't care what it looks like. I want to talk about what it is. With a group this big, there's some people in here that are really lonely. You know, you can feel like you're the only person in the room. And if that's you, will you find one person you could trust here to just say, I'm lonely? Maybe it's one of the parents or advisors that came with you. Have those kinds of authentic conversations, because that's leadership. And it takes sacrifice. It takes commitment. But it's a person who knows why they're doing what they're doing. They're willing to do what it takes, which is to have the conversation. And they use what they've got right now. And what you've got is each other. I told you that I live at the end of this inlet in Canada. I've been there for now 27 years. And it's just an amazing, beautiful place. We just are living off the land completely. I built this lodge. It took me 20 years to build this thing. Like log after log after log. It was finally done. We bring good guys and bad guys and undecided there. We'll bring people from other countries that are in civil conflicts with each other. It's just a safe place for them to come and have this conversation. Well, it was finally done. I hired 8 guys to spend 2 months up there putting one last coat of stain on it. They were there for 2 days, and they put some oily rags together. The rags spontaneously combusted, burnt to the ground. It's gone. And you know what? That happened to some of you. It was maybe your parents broke up. Maybe there was something at school. Maybe it was a friendship that was lost. And it all burnt down. I want to talk to you about leadership when it's hard. And there's something beautiful that happens. I stood at the edge of this thing with Sweet Maria. Everything had been erased. Everything that we valued so much. And there was a person that came along, and they used their words. But the words that we use, we need to be so careful in leadership. Your words just impact people so much. I spoke at an event a couple weeks ago. And when I was done, there was a woman that came up to me afterwards and said, are you a friend of Bill W's? And I'm like, I was racking my brain because I knew a lot of people named Bill. It was a week later that I realized she was talking about one of the courageous people that founded Alcoholics Anonymous. She wanted to know if I was in recovery. But instead of putting me on the spot, she said, do you know who Bill W. was? Because she knew if I was in AA, I would have known who he was. That was such a beautiful, leaders like you reach up high. They don't put people in a corner, but they don't dodge the question. They ask the best way they can, the kindest way they can, they'll ask a question. I had a friend who lost a child as an infant. Just inexplicably, the daughter was gone. And there was a person that came up that was still trying to sort out their words. And she said, I know exactly how you feel. My dog died too. And I was just, my heart ached for this guy. And he took a breath and he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, tell me what your dog's name was. Isn't that beautiful? Instead of saying, how could you equate one with the other? How could you be so insensitive? He just said, tell me about your pain. And I think leaders like you do that. If we get under the ice cap, if we know why we're doing what we're doing, then all these beautiful things, your words matter. Use them this week with each other. Say, I don't want to just be on the surface. Tell me about your best day and your worst day. Tell me if you've ever felt alone. Tell me if you felt insecure. I'm fine after this whole malaria thing. You know what? Here, reach out your right hands. Everybody reach out your right hand. Is it pretty steady? Right? You could probably do Lasix with that thing. My right hand is really steady. You guys, after this malaria thing, my left hand, I've got this shimmy in it. I could whip eggs. I have no idea what's going on. And I was with a group of people back in Washington, D.C. They weren't getting along. Have you heard? I said, let's use our nice words. And we were all in a group, and they said, let's all hold hands. And you know what I did? I put my hands in my pockets. Do you know why? I didn't want them to think I was weak. I didn't want them to think that I was, like, nervous being around them. I've spent my whole life in leadership reaching out my right hand to people. And I think people like you that really want to lead well, that have gone under there, you'll reach out your weak hand. You'll say, man, I've got some stuff I'm working on too. Well, as Sweet Maria and I stood at the edge of this thing, a woman came up to us, and she's still working on her people skills a little bit. And she said, the reason God burned down your lodge is he wanted to show you his power. I wanted to scissor kick her in the neck. Like, what? I've seen a ladybug and been wowed. You didn't need to burn down my home. But here's the deal. I think that some difficulties will come your way and my way to remind us of his presence. And as you lean into leadership, you're going to face some headwinds along the way. What I want you to do is to say, I know what love is. It's going to involve sacrifice, it's going to involve commitment, and it's going to involve a community. Continue to return to each other at FFA. This is a beautiful community. I'm just so honored to be on the periphery of this thing. I got to wrap this up. Sweet Maria Goff won't fly with me. The only way in and out of this place is on a beaver seaplane. Have you seen beaver seaplanes? They take off and land on the water. They're awesome. Well, she won't fly with me. I mean, would you? I'm like that dog in Up, like, squirrel, boom. But every year on our anniversary, we take one flight together. And so we flew to this mountain lake, and we had a soda pop, and we said, like, let's do this again. And we flew back to the lodge and landed at the dock, and she got out of the plane. She left a note behind. It said, meet me at the cabin. I'm like, yes. So I'm running to the cabin. I think this is going to be awesome. And you know what she'd done, you guys? She'd saved her wedding dress for 33 years. And she still fit it. And we got me in this jumbo tuxedo and kind of duct taped me in. And we renewed our vows. And you know what? All I could get out is this. Love with you has meant sacrifice and commitment. I think if we walk back into our communities, if you're willing to go underneath the ice cap for the next couple days to be authentic with people, that's where it'll be great. That's where your superpowers are going to lie in your leadership. It won't be what you identify with. It isn't the blue and the gold. It's what happens when you guys are together. I'm going to close with this. But we have one thing in British Columbia you don't have a lot of where you live, and they're sea otters. They're everywhere. They're like Priuses. And the thing about sea otters is this. They all hold hands. We should be playing Sarah McLachlan music, don't you think? And you know why they hold hands? Because they don't want anybody to drift away. Would you do this? Would you grab a shoulder or a hand or whatever's not creepy? You'll know. Can we do this all around here? 25 or 30,000 FFA leaders? Could we just do this? Could we just hang with me? Could we just renew our vow? The kind of people that you're going to be are the people that express their faith and love. Thanks, you guys. God bless you. Thanks for letting me come.
Run off yet. Don't run off yet. We got a lot to do. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Mr. Goff, for your remarks to our membership here today. Your mission to love others in order to create a better world, not only for ourselves, but for everyone, carries a resounding message with our membership. And we cannot thank you enough for your excitement and your energy and for sharing your talents and abilities with us here today.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Goff.
Come on.